Okay, so the topic for today is phronesis and akrasia, which, because I like big words, that is just awesome right there. I mean, we could stop here, but it starts with, Mishle really starts with an introduction. Six psukim. The first psukim was Mishle Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. Then he starts with his introduction, where he's summarizes his goals. Okay, this is what you're supposed to get out of this sefer. It's ladat chokhmah u'musar, to know wisdom and discipline, lahavin imrei bina, to understand words of understanding, lakachat musar haskel, to get practical musar, discipline, tzedek u'mishpat u'misharim, justice, righteousness, justice, and straightforwardness. Arma, to give the naive cleverness, lanar dat and mizima, to give the young knowledge and foresight, ability to plan. Ishma chacham v'yosef lechav, the wise will listen and reap their reward. Navon tachbulot yikneh, and the understand and the one who is understanding will learn strategies. Lavin mashalom, to understand, I'll translate as poetics and rhetoric, how to use language, to understand the words of the Chachamim and their riddles, their subtle points. Yirat Hashem reshitat, the fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge. Chachma musar avilim bozu, but the fools, the avilim, will spurn wisdom and discipline. We got a lot of words here. It says a lot of things that, yeah, we're going to teach you wisdom and people will understand them. And we're going to assume that they're not just poetic synonyms. Each word here, the chachma, da, musar, bina, sechel, all of that has specific meanings. And we have all these different words for wisdom. And we mentioned them, arma, which we'll talk about in most of the Torah, is a negative thing, like the nachash in Eden is arum mikol adam. Here's a positive thing.
It's sleazy, no? It's they use it in modern Hebrew.
Okay, right. But that's from the snake, right? But it means clever.
Yeah.
But it's got a negative connotation, sly
Definitely.
in general. But here it's a positive thing, right? His goal is to atate lepetaim arma, right? He wants to give this to those who are petah, or we're going to trample as naive, right? Mizima, same thing. Zomem means to plot, to plan. But again, it usually has a negative connotation. Here it's a positive. The force they figure out. Tachbulot, similarly, strategies, tactics, and they all have different meanings. All the mafarshim comment, try to tease them apart based on context. And then we have to say different words for what we'll call good behavior, how you're supposed to act. Tzedek, mishpat, misharim, we'll have to look at that. And then there are the ones who lack wisdom. Here's the peta, the the na'ar, which in Yiddish means a fool, but in Hebrew usually just means a young person, and avil, which we'll talk about soon. And then there's one word that's going to come up that's not here, which is a ksil, another word for fool. And several different ways of words that are used for the text. What is he going to say? We have this imre bina, we have lekach, mashal, melitza, and the divrei chachamim that comes up a lot, and chida was a riddle in modern Hebrew. But to figure all those words out. And when they apply.
Danny, what do you say the word pay tough olive is?
Right. Shomer pita'im Hashem. Literally, God guards the fools. But I would translate as naive.
Okay.
Okay, those who are not
Like
the
innocent.
innocent, right? Who aren't clever, right? He's going to teach, like that says, his part of his goal is to give the arma, to give the naive cleverness. Which in other contexts will be a bad thing,
Be
right?
like street smart to be,
Yeah. So I have to see. Without seeing it in here, we're just introducing. This is the introduction. These are the words that we're going to use. And the other thing I want to do, and I'm going to try to do it, but I don't know enough about it, is compare Mishle to the other source of Western ethics. Okay, Mishle is a Jewish ethics. Like, this is the way you're supposed to behave. The other side of the Western canon is Aristotle's I can't pronounce it, Nicomachean Ethics. And that's the source for things like the golden mean that the Rambam brings up all the time, that you should be in a balance. And a lot of the way we think about ethics, the philosophy of behavior, what's the right way to act, that comes from Aristotle. And even in Judaism, of course, so much of Rambam's language, not so much his, he doesn't so much agree with Aristotle, but the language, the concepts are from Aristotle. So, but the difference is, and that's as profound what you have to look at, because both of them agree that human beings need to study, practice what we call ethics. Right? How do I know how to act, behave with other people? But there's a difference in the ultimate goal. Okay? Because you're supposed to have the right behavior, but what right means is very different. But we're going to translate someone's comment to English that wants the fancy words. So we're going to have the fancy words. Okay, and there's a great quote from Emmanuel Levinas, the French philosopher, who said, "Often all one needs to do is define an unusual terminology with words derived from the Greek to convince the most difficult to please that one has just entered philosophy." Okay, you want to impress people with how smart you are, your deep philosophical thoughts, just use Greek words, and you've got it. Okay, so we're going to do that. We're going to use all these fancy Greek words. That count as English because they're in English dictionaries, but they'll impress everybody when you say them. So the basis, okay, the standard for which you behave, right, is that last pasuk we quoted, right? Yirat Hashem Reshita, fear of Hashem, awe of Hashem. That's Shlomo. We're serving here to serve Hashem. Aristotle, though, says that the purpose of all behavior is to achieve eudaimonia. There's our first word, which literally means the right guidance, but in his sense, it's happiness as a result of an active life governed by reason. It's happiness. And happiness you can achieve by thinking. And this is Aristotle's comment. As far as the name of, our goal is the attainment of some good goes, we may almost say that the great majority of mankind are agreed about this for both the multitude and the persons of refinement. Speak of it as happiness. Again, that's eudaimonia. You can see if the good life or doing well to be the same thing as being happy. That's Aristotle's ethics. You want to be happy. Live a satisfied life. That's not the way Jewish ethics work. Okay, we have Kohelet, someone says that. So davar kol nishma, this is the end point. Elokim yarei, serve Hashem, that mitzvot tishmar, keep the mitzvot. This is the purpose of our being. We start with the Yirat Hashem, and our ultimate purpose is coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu and bringing the world closer. We want to vacate with Hashem, and we say, Aleinu l'takein olam malchut Shaddai. That is the goal that we're aiming for. And the Ramchal in Mesilat Yesharim starts by quoting the Gemara, which is the path. How do I achieve perfection? How do I reach the ultimate state of what it means to be human? Says Amar Rav Pinchas ben Yair, Torah mevi'a lidei zehirut. Learning Torah, which is just the intellectual side, brings us to zehirut, literally being careful. I would translate it as mindfulness, being aware. Zehirut mevi'a lidei zerizut. Mindfulness leads to eagerness. I want to do the mitzvot. Zerizut mevi'a lidei nikiyut. And that eagerness leads to cleanliness, which Maharal's is not so much physical, being clean, but purity of thought. I'm only thinking the good thoughts. And once I have this purity of thought, I'll have purity of action. I will not do anything negative. And that brings us to purity in terms of our own selves. And this the Ramchal says Chasidut here is the going beyond the letter of the law. That my actions are dedicated to Hashem, even if it's not required. And this is the hardest part, as Ramchal says, that being a chassid, going beyond the letter of law, has to lead to humility. In other words, I'm not proud of myself for being so wonderful, even if I got into all this path. How do I get humility into that? And then the next step is this point of what he calls yirat chet, fear of sin, not in the sense of punishment, but of the feeling that I can't do anything wrong. I don't want to do anything wrong. I want to be acting right. Yirat chet mivadi kedusha, and that leads us to being holy in everything that we do. And then the Gemara continues, kedusha mivadi lidei ruach hakodesh. From there, we can achieve prophecy. And that's the center of Mor Nevuchim. Like, how do I get to the state of warranting prophecy? And Ramchal points out that this point on here is not in our control. You can get to be a better person, but Ruach HaKodesh or real Kedusha is something that's got to be a gift from Hashem. And Ruach HaKodesh may be al-yedei techiyat ha-metim, the ultimate redemption. So that's the path. So Ramchal calls that the Mesilat Yesharim, the path of the righteous. Because you got to go one step after another step. And then it concludes about this. This kind of the ultimate goal of our learning Musar ethics is Achar Kadosh, a Davik Tamid Be'elokav, that someone who's holy is close to Hashem at all times. Mushkalot and he such a person walks Mushkalot, and goes with true knowledge, true seichel, true understanding of Avaro, Virato, loving Hashem, his creator, and of him. And it's that, like, you're walking with Hashem in the eternal world, Adenapobolamazavin in this. That's Kedusha. That's where our goal is. It's not eudaimonia, not happiness, but it's Dveikut. Dveik Tamid Lelokav. So that's Shlomo. That's the goal of Mishlei. And that second pasuk here, the first pasuk of the introduction is Ladat Chochmo Musar Lavin Imrei Bina. And we have to understand every one of those words. What does it mean, Ladat, to know? But that is not just knowledge, not just knowing it's in our minds, but it means intimate knowledge. It means something you feel, not just think. Classic example you have in Bereshit, Adam yada, right? Adam yada was intimate with Chava's wife, or when Hashem describes Abraham, ki yadativ, l'man asher tzaveh, because I know, in that sense of yada, that Abraham will command his household, Acharav, Shamru Derech HaShem, and they will keep the ways of God, Lasot Tzedakot Mishpat. And they will do justice and righteousness and justice, which again, we'll have to figure out what those mean. And the Malbim says about that idea of, and when you talk about the Eitz Hadat Tov HaRa, right? What did Adam and Chava do wrong when they ate from this now this tree of Dat, of knowledge of Tov HaRa? The Malbim says that we understand that what that means, something that's something deep in your soul, an absolute knowledge. That comes through our senses or our reasoning, or spiritual feeling. That is a matter of what we feel. It's something that's known to both heart and mind. It can't be just knowledge. Okay, in terms of Tehillim, we've looked at that expression, hearts and minds, is kliyot b'lev, literally kidneys and heart.
Your keshkes.
I'm sorry?
You feel it in your keshkes.
The kishkes. Okay, so there is the idea of kerev being the kind of the gut feeling there, but specifically the idea of kliyot, the kidneys being the source of intellect of thinking. And so yes, I don't know if it's unique to Tanakh. That's the metaphor that's always there. Okay, that Tehillim says that, right? B'chanei Hashem, David tells Hashem, test me, try me, tzarfak kliotai b'libi, right? Purify my kidneys and heart. Again, in English, we'd say heart and mind. So that's the goal of Sefer Mishlei, right? We're going to turn this chachma, this knowledge, into da'at, da'at chachma. And we quoted that Rav Eliopian said that Musar as a whole is teaching the heart what the mind already understands. But just knowing doesn't translate into action. And I'm learning Alei Shor with Leah right now, and the introduction says that you know, if you're just going to read the book, put it down. It's not going to mean anything to you. Understanding this, he says about Elishur again, that's a Moser. It's only real if you do it in order to act on it. Limud Levad lo yivinu bahem klum. If you just try to read it, learn it inside, just read the words, you're not going to understand anything. You draw Shmut Mehem and trying to get these words to make an impression, Bediralayam and studying them, Ide Limudam Levad by just studying, learning them alone. Bodit Levad. What's that? Bodit Bidarim. I got this. Let me see what I meant to type in here. Ham Devarim.
What did you write, Danny?
I saw. Let's go. Okay, so Levad Hem Devarim, Batelim of Talim, they are things that are null and void, worthless. You just learn them. If you're trying to just read them, okay? So he's got to get to this, the idea of Dat Chachma and Musar. We've got to turn Chachma and Musar into Dat, the things you feel. And so what is Chachma? It really means wisdom, knowledge of a lot of things, okay? But here it means it has a very specific meaning. That's what the Malbim says. Geder Chachma. What Chachma means here. Geder Chachma v'dat b'chol midot v'drachim ha'minagim. Chachma here means to know about human character and how one should act. Realize that people, you have choices. You're always faced with two different ways to go. You can look at the kind of the different characters between cruelty and kindness, gava vanava, pride and humility, azud boshet, being brazen out there and being shy, achila tzom, whether eating or not eating, kedusha tuma, holiness, impurity. You have choices to make. And that making one choice is going to be chachma. And the opposite is foolishness. For example, that acting humbly is chachma. It's a wise thing to do. But to act haughty and proud, that's foolish. But sometimes a gaiva chachma, but sometimes being proud is the smarter thing to do, but anavasiklut, and being too humble is foolishness, or negative rishaim zedim, like you approach those who are wrong. There are places for each of these. There isn't some easy, quick answer. So chachma is knowing how to act. The English word for this is, it's not pronesis, it's phronesis. I got it. So that's the word you got to know. Phronesis is a time of wisdom and intelligence relevant to practical action. How do I know how to act? It implies both good judgment and excellence of character and habits. In Aristotelian ethics, the concept was distinguished from other words for wisdom. In Greek, you have sophia, meaning wisdom, but that's knowledge. Intellectual virtue is closest to practical character. That's chacham. How do I act? And that's the wisdom that Shlomo asked for. When Hashem offered anything he wanted, he has this dream in Gibeah. Hashem asks him what he wants, and he says, I want chacham, I want wisdom. And what he says specifically is, "Atata l'avadecha lev shomea." I want a heart that listens. L'shpot damcha, to judge your nation. Lavin ben tover uvlara, to not understand good and bad. Yimachol l'shpot damcha kaveh azek. How else can I judge? Can I rule over this huge nation? So if that's what we're trying to do, achieve this phronesis, right? Get the knowledge of what the best thing to do is. There's an interesting philosophical question. Is it possible to know the right thing to do and not do it? Can you act against your own best judgment? Because Plato, now the thing about Plato and his philosophy is that he's always wrong, but it's worth trying to figure out why. Okay? The Plato would say that you can't act against your best judgment by definition. Because if you decided to do something, that was your best judgment. So this is so Plato presents his ideas through the mouth of Socrates. So these are all Socratic dialogues or Socrates is talking. They said that people think that while a man often has knowledge in him, he's not governed by it, right? You act like you know what the right thing to do is, but you don't do it, or by something else, by passion, pleasure, pain, love, fear. And their feeling about knowledge is just what they have about a slave, that they may be dragged about by any other force, right? What things you know are true, they're just something that's in your head, but that's not what determines what you do. And he's asking Protagoras, who's a sophist, he's talking to, do you agree with this view of it, or do you consider that knowledge is something noble and able to govern man? That whoever learns what is good and what is bad will never be swayed by anything to act otherwise than as knowledge bids. That intelligence is a sufficient succor for mankind. If you just knew what the right thing to do was, then you would do it. And he concludes, no, that.
Yeah, you don't always have, you may know what the right thing is, but that may not be one of your options.
Okay, so he'll acknowledge that, right? If you don't have the option, but talking about making decisions, you're at a point where you can make a decision.
Yeah.
And his point is that if you make the wrong choice, then it's because you didn't know what the consequences really were going to be. You weren't thinking about it. That anyone who makes a wrong ethical choice is from some lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
That's it. That's his point. If you really knew what you had to do, then you would do it. Okay, this is Socrates. You
Okay.
have admitted that it is from a defect of knowledge that men err, right? They don't know those things. And when they do err in their choice of pleasures and pains, whatever they're doing, that is in the choice of good and evil, from defect not merely of knowledge, but of the knowledge of which you have now admitted is also that of measurement. It's not just knowing what's going to happen, but being able to balance it, the consequences of what's going to happen. That's what everyone has to understand. And surely you would know well for enough that the erring act committed without knowledge is done through ignorance, right? If you make a mistake, it's only ignorance. That's the definition of ignorance. Accordingly, to be overcome by pleasure means just this, ignorance in the highest degree. So the answer is no. There's no such thing as acting against your knowledge. If you do make a wrong choice and you realize after, oh, that was a bad idea, it's because you didn't know what was going to happen. It's ignorance, okay? But if you don't think,
You didn't have all the things, you didn't have all the knowledge that you needed.
right, that is Plato's argument, and it is also clearly wrong. Okay? It's really, you can certainly have knowledge. And as you're doing something, no, this is a bad idea, but still doing it. Okay? Like when they bring donuts in and they're kosher, and you're looking, do I really need to eat that fourth donut? Right? And you know full well you're gonna be miserable, but it's just sitting there, right?
Yeah.
The argument is Socrates would say, we don't really know how miserable you're gonna be are, but we all have an intuitive sense, right? Socrates starts out by saying that people think that they're not governed by their knowledge. But clearly then he's I mean that Socrates is just kind of making an argument that's wrong. That's not that knowledge of, oh, this is not good for me, this is a bad choice. Is not running us, and that if he says there's some other kind of knowledge that we're lacking, then that's not knowledge. It's because our minds don't make decisions, our hearts do, right? And it's what we're feeling, which is why, as we go back to the Tanakh side, that the kidneys are also called the atzeh in the Torah. That model, because the mind, kliyot, don't make decisions, they're offering advice. The lev decides, right? Just in last week's parsha, well, 2 weeks ago, parsha in Vayikra said that you have to offer higriv mizbeach you're offering from the sacrifices, the tail that's connected to the atzeh, the kidneys. And Rashi says, lumat atzeh, okay, the mind is only advising, it's not in charge. And Aristotle points that out. We're going to end up in a back to Mishlei here, but we'll read some Aristotle now. Now we may ask how a man who judges rightly can behave incontinently. And that's the way this word is translated. Incontinent means out of control. Now, in modern English, it doesn't have to do with behavior, it has to do with body functions. So it's a little bit funny reading that. But how can you act out of control? You know what's the right thing to do, and you do something different. They should behave so when he has knowledge, some say it's impossible, it would be strange, so Socrates thought, if when knowledge was in a man, something else could master it, right? That something else would be control of what you know and drag it out like a slave, as he said before. For Socrates was entirely opposed to the question, holding that there is no such thing as incontinence, the lack of control. Nobody said when a judge acts against what he does best, people act so only by reason of ignorance. Okay, if you're making a decision, then you have decided that is the best idea. Now, this view plainly contradicts the observed facts, as we all know we make bad choices. And we can watch ourselves making the bad choices. An argument about the knowledge thing is within the case of having knowledge but not using it, we see a difference of state. It means the possibility of having knowledge in a sense, but yet not having it. Right? You can know something but not be using it, as the instance of a man asleep, mad, or drunk. So that's obviously that's the argument that you can know something, but as you said, if you have a choice, you're asleep or drunk, not have to act using your knowledge. And obviously, knowledge is there, but you have no control over it. Now, this is just the condition of men under influence of passions. Outbursts of anger and sexual appetites or some other passions is evident, actually alter a body condition, and some men even produce fits of madness. So yes, you can be overcome by your feelings and make bad choices. It's plain that incontinent people must be said to be in a similar condition to men asleep, mad, or drunk. You know that you can have knowledge but not act. The fact that men use the language that flows from knowledge, we use the term knowledge proves nothing. And that's Aristotle's point. And I think that's sort of the message of Mishlei as well, that you can know something and still not act. But the word that here we called incontinent, out of control, is the word ekphrasia in Greek. And we're not going to use the word incontinent because that means something else entirely in modern English. So ekphrasia is the word we use, meaning a lack of self-control, excess impertinence, intemperance, rather. And in Mishlei, the word that he uses for that is the word that ends this little section. So the goal of Mishlei is ledat chachma u'musar, to integrate practical knowledge, phronesis, and musar, which will still discipline. But chachma u'musar avilim bazu. The avil, translated usually as fool, one of these words here, but here specifically for this one with ekphrasia, one who has who knows chachma u'musar in an intellectual sense, but bazu spurns it, doesn't incorporate, doesn't get that sense of dat, of having it be part of themselves. And so we say that, and that it comes back to this Yirat Hashem, Rav Yishai. You got to have this Yirat Hashem. If you don't have Yirat Hashem, then you have this Socratic sense of knowledge, but it's not going to affect your behavior. Malvim says about this, no, the truth is, avilim, this avil, this fool here. Shegeder avil, definition of avil, who mistapek bilti ma'amin, he says it has to do with doubting. Like, does this really matter? And he says it's from the shoresh of ulai, maybe. The deal is one says maybe. They have doubts, ben al-chachma, ben et Hashem, whether about the actual knowledge or about fearing Hashem, musar, that's what musar means. That's the beginning of wisdom. Not incorporating that, not having the dot of that is being a veil, imbazim, and they spurn, disgrace, chachma, and musar. Bazu Chabazu, chachma, u'musar. So that's what it means that the fools scorn chachma, musar. Yirat Hashem rishita. So it's got to start from this Yirat Hashem. It's lamar mitnei ein la chachma atzla acharet, but that's a talk because chachma in this sense has no other basis for knowing. We've got to accept that there is a higher power who makes it sort of sets the rules up. We talked about that last time. Let's see many yediyah b'ra, and that's no way to get knowledge. Rach al-yadei, Yirat Hashem. It's got to come through it. This is built on leaving Hashem, and the rules that come from Hashem, the Torah. So the Avil doesn't know that, has doubts about all that. So they spurn Musar and fear of God, and so they reject all the chachma that depends on it. They may know what it is, but they're not. It's not part of them. So that's dat and that's chachma. Integrating knowledge, phronesis, the knowledge of the right way to act. Musar is the next word. Shlomo wants us to know chachma musar. So how do you define Musar? The answer is we just define it as Musar. Where do you have Musar from? You know, we'll translate as character development. What I found interesting is that it sounds like it's related to Musara, meaning the transmission, like the Mishnah, Moshe, you know, right? Moshe Kibel Torah, Masrua, Yeshua, etc., Nevi'im Masrua, Shekinah Gedola. Turns out that's wrong. But the word musar, meaning to transmit, doesn't appear in Tanakh. It's a Mishnaic Hebrew word.
Where musar. Does it appear?
I'm sorry?
Where does it appear?
In the Mishnah.
Oh, okay.
It does not appear in Tanakh in that sense. Musar in Tanakh, oh, it comes from the root of yusurim. Discipline. Like negative punishing, negative reinforcement. Okay, so Musar, Chachma is the knowledge of what to do right. Musar is the unpleasant outcome of the wrong behavior or a warning about what could happen. So Moshe's speech to Bnei Israel, he says that, Meshamayim Mishmecha Kolo Li Yasreka, right? God has spoke out to you to be a Yisurim, to be Musar to you. That's discipline. This is going to scare you. Okay, or B'yadata L'movecha, you should know that like a man disciplines his son, so Hashem disciplines you. Says the Malbin, says about this, Ma'o Musar. What does it mean? What does Musar mean in Mishlei? Yivor l'kaman, Mishlei will say later, Yirat Hashem, Musar Chachma. Right? Again, we're going back to Yirat Hashem, fear of God is Musar, that is wise. That's the feeling of awe, of fear, of I'm so little and Hashem so great. And it has this one branch of the sense of yira, which is fear of Hashem. That allows you to control your own feelings. With bounds, binds that cannot be broken. Right? They're poetic, but the only way you control yourself is with Musar, with the sense of there are limits. So once you have Yirat Hashem and realize that these rules come from God, you'll be in awe of Hashem, Hashem's greatness, Hashem's judgment, and from the punishment. These are all aspects of Yirat Hashem. And you'll be too afraid to swerve from any of these rules. Hashem Tziva, that God commanded, Vizir Elohim, Melech Elyon, Ram Ben Yisa, that the Almighty God commanded. That's what Musar is. Chachma is knowing the right way to act, and Musar is knowing the consequences of the wrong way to act. So it's a contrast.
Danny, I was going to say that the word Zihi Rud or Vihis here.
Yeah.
I would translate that as caution, our cautions.
Yes. So is that say
thinking that the whole idea of having this caution slowing you down, because like you were talking about passion, you know, the passion's getting the better of you.
Right.
But if you slow down for a second.
Right, so I translate that the Ramchal uses the sense of zihirut, in I translate as mindfulness, right? Yeah. That's that slow down enough to start thinking,
right?
Right, get your knowledge to match up with the way you're about to act.
I'm gonna say this when I think of caution, I think of slowing down.
Slowing down. That's a good way to look at. That's a good way to look at it. Okay. And the way Rabbi Morris, I've quoted this sefer about the Mishlei metaphors for living, is that this chachmum sar, the contrast clarified. clarifies. Light only has meaning in the context of darkness. The stronger the distinction, the more potent the appreciation that is. This is true of emotion as well as morality. And seeing the stark difference between what is right and wrong, the message is clear. Shlomo Melech used this model throughout Mishlei. You'll help every, you know, lots of psukim will be here's the positive side, but here's the negative side of each pasuk in the parallel. Well, they won't be synonymous, they'll be exact opposites. You know, the wise does this, the fool does that. This is the understanding of knowledge in Musar. That chokhmah of Musar, it's that contrast. It's not punitive, right? It's always meant to be, Musar in the sense is education. It's there to learn that this is a bad thing and we have to heal him. This is the Shir Shal Yom for Wednesday. He says, Hayaser goyim al yochia. The one who disciplines nations will certainly rebuke those who do wrong, right? The Yisurim. Amalamed Adam Dak. So that's part of teaching dat to people. Hashem Yodea Machtavot Adam, Ki Hei Mahavel. God knows the thoughts of man, that they're so transient. Ashrei Geber Asher Yisrene Ika. That happy is the one who is who is disciplined by God. Right? Yisurim should make you happy. Because that's teaching Torah. We don't want Yisurim. We should understand. We should learn Musar. And the second half of that pasuk, so it's Lahavin Chachma Umusar. Or rather, it's Ladat Chachma Umusar. But the other half of the pasuk, his goal here is Lahavin Imre Bina, which is redundant, right? To understand words of understanding. Because Bina is something different from Chachma. Venus comes to root boner, to build. Means an analysis, deduction. This is the Rashi famously making that distinction. Things that you learn, things that you study. Tuguna or bina may be davar milibo bitok the rim shalamat. When you deduce new things, you learn when you derive new truths from things. Can you hear my dog barking?
Like a little bit.
Yeah. It's good. It's a directional mic. I can't think from barking. And similarly, Rashi talking about judges have to be chacham and navon, have bina. So and navanim mevinim davar mitok davar. They can draw logical conclusions. Zeh Shasha'al Arius at Rabbi Yossi. This is the Gemara brings down of that Arius, a Roman after Yossi. Ma ben Chachamim l'Navonim. What's the difference between Chacham and Navon? What's the difference between Chacham and Bina? Chacham domel Shulchani Ashir. Chacham is like a money changer who's rich. Mevien lo dinarin lirot roeh. That he wants to exchange money. He can. They bring him stuff. He's got the wealth to do it. But if no one brings him anything, he just sits. Navon domele shulchani tagar. But a Navon is like a storekeeper who's a merchant. That he'll accept money that people bring it to him. If not, he goes out and tries to earn it himself. The Navon generates his own chachma. Own knowledge. Chachma is simply learning. Tivuna, bina, is generating a kiddushin. And so he would say that once, even in learning these mishalim here, you get the message, that's still not enough. Because there's no way that a finite text can tell you everything you need to know. You have to be able to have bina, understand it well enough to derive your own truth and understand each situation and bring this chachma and musar into new areas. So, what Shlomo here is going to ladat is wants us to ladat chachmo musar to know the right way to act in the wrong way, and lahavin imre bina to have these imre bina, these tools for building to go on from there. So we'll stop here. We haven't gotten to any actual mishle. This is just the introduction, and we'll try to continue this introduction next time. And but not next week because I'll still be coming back from Montreal then.
Well, all right, so in a few weeks.
Yeah, hopefully in Hashem, 2 weeks, and then Pesach comes.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. Okay.
Thank you, Danny.
You're
Thank
welcome. Thank you.
you.
Thank you for joining
Very
me.
good words tonight, Danny.
There you go.
Very
Got
good.
it. You got eudaimonia, you got phronesis,
Love them.
and
Thank you.
ecrasia. Okay.
Bye. Bye.